This is Jay Sekulow. It's the final debate between the president and Governor Romney, the election 2 weeks away.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
My first job as commander-in-chief is to keep the American people safe, and that's what we've done over the last 4 years. We ended the war in Iraq, refocused our attention on those who actually killed us on 9/11. And as a consequence, al-Qaeda's core leadership has been decimated. In addition, we're now able to transition out of Afghanistan in a responsible way, making sure that Afghans take responsibility for their own security.
And then the president began what I've called an apology tour of going to various nations in the Middle East and criticizing America. I think they looked at that and saw weakness. Then when there were dissidents in the streets of Tehran, a green revolution, holding signs saying, is America with us? The president was silent. I think they noticed that as well. And I think that when the president said he was going to create daylight between ourselves and Israel, that they noticed that as well.
Nothing Governor Romney just said is true, starting with this notion of me apologizing. This has been probably the biggest whopper that's been told during the course of this campaign. And every fact checker and every reporter has looked at it. Governor has said this is not true.
The reason I call it an apology tour is because you went to the Middle East and you flew to Egypt and to Saudi Arabia and to Turkey and Iraq. And by the way, you skipped Israel, our closest friend in the region. But you went to the other nations. And by the way, they noticed that you skipped Israel. And then in those nations, and on Arabic TV, you said that America had been dismissive and derisive. You said that on occasion, America had dictated to other nations. Mr. President, America has not dictated to other nations. We have freed other nations from dictator.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We want you to get into the conversation early. Your impressions on yesterday's presidential debate. How do you see the election? Who are you supporting in this upcoming election just 2 weeks away? Again, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Interesting headlines. Politico says that there was far from a consensus view on who won the debate in the hours after it ended. They had two instant polls, gave Obama a clear edge over Romney, but the pundit class was, to quote Obama, all over the map. And they said all over the map is that some said that it went to Romney, some said it went to Obama, to the president. Interestingly also, Chuck Todd from MSNBC, it was said, looking at the debate, too late for President Obama to disqualify Mitt Romney. He has to requalify himself. And Charles Krautheimer from Fox News said that the thing that Mitt Romney was able to accomplish last night was looking presidential and looking like a commander-in-chief. CNN poll, by the way, basically said both of them met that role of commander-in-chief. I am in the studio. We're going to have, by the way, a number of our experts on with us today. Our phone lines are already jammed, but we've got Skip Ash, senior counsel for the ACLJ, heads up our national security group. David French also is here, senior counsel with the ACLJ, also a judge advocate general in the United States Army. Let's get some impressions. The Middle East did play front and center. There was a lot of discussions about this apology tour. President Obama made the statement about, let me play it very quickly here. Well, let me do this. Let me get your impressions first because we're already running really close on time. Your impression, David, first on the debate last night, where do you think it goes? I mean, it's over with now. Obviously, the candidates are out campaigning.
If you watched the debate and you didn't know who was president and who was the challenger, you would have thought that Mitt Romney was the president and Barack Obama was the challenger.
Because of the aggressiveness of which President Obama was engaging the debate.
Because of President Obama's very aggressive and sometimes condescending and snarky attacks, which is what a challenger often tries to do.
There was one that was particularly troublesome, I thought was really unprofessional. I don't know if we have it, but we maybe can get it later in the broadcast, where the president turns to Governor Romney and says, you know, we have ships that go under the water right now. We don't have, you know, we don't use bayonets anymore. And we'll have that one for you when we come back from the break. A 10-second comment here, Skip, because I got to go to a break. What was your sense of the situation?
I thought Obama was... As said, was snarky. I thought he did something that he shouldn't have said, and I thought Romney was presidential.
All right, well, let me tell you what we're going to do. We're taking your calls, and our phone lines are jammed. I'm going to get right to them. But, folks, in all of the discussion last night, the president still has not come clean on Benghazi. We want to know what happened in Libya. The American people have a right to know. We don't want to keep funding the Muslim Brotherhood. Join this petition right now at 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
a U.S. ambassador was assassinated, and three other Americans murdered. Now, more than a month after this horrendous terrorist attack, President Obama still refuses to face the facts, to come clean with the American people, to tell the truth about what really happened in Benghazi, Libya. Congress is now actively investigating this brutal attack, working to get the facts, to cut through the political maneuvering, to tell the American people exactly what happened and why. Unfortunately, it's becoming a common theme with the Obama administration. We still don't know what really happened with the botched gun running program Fast and Furious that took the life of a U.S. Border Patrol agent. Now another crisis. Lots of questions, no straight answers. Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. It's time for President Obama to quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are jammed. Let me read you this cable that came in. As the analysis has been going forward on what happened in Libya and Benghazi in particular, our ambassador sent a cable on June 25th, 2012, not only asking for additional security, but saying, quote, Libya's fragile security deteriorates as tribal rivalries, power plays, and extremism intensifies. He said an Islamic group claimed responsibility for the initial attacks on that embassy, which, by the way, took place in June. He said, again, the cable said, the statements issued by imprisoned Sheikh Omar Abdulrahman's brigade accused the basically our embassy of proselytizing Christianity to Libyans and described the attack against the United States as targeting the Christians supervising the management of the consulate. You're not getting a lot of this on other news sources. This, again, is the excuse for them engaging in horrific activity. David Benjamin is with our office in Jerusalem, a senior counsel, also served in the Israeli Defense Force. David, let me give you get your analysis of the debate yesterday on how you saw things developing, especially as it related to Israel.
Well, of course, what did stand out is what Governor Romney pointed out, that President Obama, since he has come into office, has not visited Israel, and that absolutely, of course, he said they noticed, meaning the Muslim states he visited.
Right.
But of course, the Israelis took notice of that too. Of course, Obama did visit Israel on his during his campaign, but it is something that does stand out quite dramatically. That he chose not to visit Israel during his presidency.
You know, it does. I'm going to get to the bite in a moment on this, but Skip, let me ask you this. Following up on what David said, I mean, the president did not visit Israel as the president of the United States, not one time in 4 years.
That's significant. He's sitting there saying that Israel's our most important ally, and yet he goes everywhere else. And we have the history of how he has treated the prime ministers of Israel when they come to visit in Washington or New York, and he refuses to meet with them or he walks out of meetings. So Romney was right when he said that his visiting those Arab nations and not visiting Israel was exactly sending the message that there was some type of rift between the United States and Israel.
Let me play for you folks. There's going to be three sound bites from the election. You'll see for our television audience, you're going to actually see the video of this. Let's go to number 49. This is Governor Romney first talking about what was his view of what was going on in the Middle East and the Green Revolution in Tehran, which he thought was a missed opportunity for the United States. Number 49.
And then the president began what I've called an apology tour of going to various nations in the Middle East and criticizing America. I think they looked at that and saw weakness. Then when there were dissidents in the streets of Tehran, a green revolution, holding signs saying, is America with us? The president was silent. I think they noticed that as well. And I think that when the president said he was going to create daylight between ourselves and Israel, that they noticed that as well. All of these things suggested, I think, to the Iranian mullahs that, hey, we can keep on pushing along here.
All right, so that's that started in the debate process. Then President Obama responds. Let me play this one for you. This is President Obama's response to Governor Romney, number 51.
Nothing Governor Romney just said is true, starting with this notion of me apologizing. This has been probably the biggest whopper that's been told during the course of this campaign. And every fact checker and every reporter has looked at it. Governor has said this is not true.
You know, what's interesting about that is that the truth of the matter is President Obama was wrong on that. The fact checkers, let's go ahead and get the fact checking done on that. But the president of the United States has not gone to Israel. You're going to hear about that. Did not support the Green Revolution in Iran. We're in an opportunity. We had a million people in Tehran, young people that wanted to overturn the Ayatollahs. Here's Governor Romney's response.
We're 4 years closer to a nuclear Iran. The reason I call it an apology tour is because you went to the Middle East and you flew to Egypt and to Saudi Arabia and to Turkey and Iraq. And by the way, you skipped Israel, our closest friend in the region. But you went to the other nations. And by the way, they noticed that you skipped Israel. And then in those nations, and on Arabic TV, you said that America had been dismissive and derisive. You said that on occasion, America had dictated to other nations. Mr. President, America has not dictated to other nations. We have freed other nations from dictator.
Well, this was a lively exchange on the foreign policy issue. And while all of this is going on, of course, we've got the situation where the administration is asking for $1.2 billion to go to the Muslim Brotherhood-led government in Egypt. And we don't have the facts on Benghazi. And believe me, in this next two-week period, the White House doesn't want to give you the facts. Well, we're demanding the truth. We want accountability here. And we've got a petition that thousands of you have signed over the last few days. I encourage you to do it as well. Go to our website at aclj.org. This petition is basically saying this. Come clean on Benghazi. What happened in Libya? There is video, live video feeds that can be looked at and reviewed. We want to know what happened in Libya. That's number one. Number two, we don't want funding to go to the Muslim Brotherhood led government in Egypt, especially without conditions, which is what's going on right now. So again, go to aclj.org to sign this petition or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org to sign onto this petition to have your voice heard. And folks, we want to hear from you on what was the issues that were motivating you the most during this debate. How do you feel about the election? We're 2 weeks away. Who are you voting for, and why are you voting for that person? If you want to talk to us on air, it's 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're going right to New York. Ralph's on line four. Hi, Ralph.
How you doing, boss?
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of give an idea of I live in New York City, you know.
Yes, sir.
The largest city in America, most populated. You know, I work for an agency that's got over 10,000 people in it. And a lot of things that I'm hearing is, especially from the Christians, is I don't know who to vote for. You know, I get into a lot of conversations.
I hear that from all groups of people and all different faith groups. You know, who do you vote for? We don't tell people on this broadcast who to vote for. I think you've got to look at the policies that each party's articulating and make a decision based on your worldview. I mean, I think that's what elections are all about in a free society, in a democratic republic. That's what we are. We're a republic. We get the right to vote. You base it on your worldview. You saw two clashes of that yesterday. And when it comes to foreign affairs, there were two very different views here.
Absolutely, two different views. And I think that President Obama's view is exactly what Romney said, and that is that it was a weak view. It was one of these things that projects weakness abroad. And he's looking through the world at the world through rose-colored glasses. I think President Romney would be more realistic in what's going on. He realizes who our allies are. He realizes what the dangers are. And President Obama is even reluctant to identify terrorism or terrorists as a danger to the United States.
Well, he's certainly taken this view that he wants to call it something else. David, how do you view this as an Israeli looking at it with the situation unfolding as it is right now in the Middle East? I mean, obviously, yesterday's debate was all foreign affairs and a lot of it was the Middle East. What's your sense?
Well, my take on this, and of course, I'm not coming from an official point of view here, but my take take on this is that it's true. President Obama did point out that there's going to be a really, in fact, it's taking place now, a very large military exercise with America and Israel. There has been a dramatic increase of military activity on the ground under the Obama presidency. And I think President Obama is essentially going with the idea, talk softly, carry a big stick. What I would say is I'm not sure that works in the Middle East. In fact, I'm pretty sure it doesn't. In the Middle East, you have to talk loudly and carry a big stick. Otherwise, the message just doesn't get through. And it doesn't seem to be getting through.
Yeah, Skip.
I think that's exactly right. It's that whole culture respects strength. Look at the governments they set up. They always set up very strong governments. This idea of having a democratic society like Israel's been able to create does not work in the Islamic world. Very often you have one man, one vote, one time. And I think that may be what's going to be happening in Egypt.
Yeah, it's interesting because as you both talked about the two different views of how they, you know, talk softly, carry a big stick, but in the Middle East, you got to carry a big stick and talk very loud as well. Two different worldviews on that for sure. Let me play both. Number 14 is President Obama. Take a listen.
Governor Romney, I'm glad that you recognize that Al-Qaeda is a threat, because a few months ago, when you were asked what's the biggest geopolitical threat facing America, you said Russia. Not Al-Qaeda, you said Russia. In the 1980s are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back, because you know the Cold War has been over for 20 years.
Governor Romney responded to that. Again, this got very personal. Listen to number 15.
We're talking about the Middle East and how to help the Middle East reject the kind of terrorism we're seeing and the rising tide of tumult and confusion. And attacking me is not an agenda. Attacking me is not talking about how we're going to deal with the challenges that exist in the Middle East and take advantage of the opportunity there and stem the tide of this violence.
And the violence, of course, continued in Libya just recently. We unfortunately experienced that firsthand here in the United States. Folks, we're getting ready to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get to your phone calls again if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Let me tell you what we're trying to do. There is 2 weeks to the next election for the President of the United States, and we want to know some facts. You know, we did this with Fast and Furious and that whole situation and gun running into Mexico. Now we've got the crisis in Libya. We've got four Americans dead, and there's a video that actually showed this in real time on what happened. Remember, the White House, the administration blamed a video on YouTube that was anti-Muslim in their view and therefore was causing these problems. That ended up not being true, even though the president went to the floor of the UN six times talking about this video, which the video was awful. But having said that, then none of that justified what happened in Libya because it didn't cause what happened in Libya. So we want the truth on that, and that's where you need to come in and exercise your right as a citizen of the United States, demanding truth from your government. We've got a petition up on that right now. Ask for the truth. We want to know the facts on Libya right now. Go to ACLJ.org or you call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org to sign this petition. Back with more in just a moment.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. A U.S. ambassador was assassinated and three other Americans murdered. Now, more than a month after this horrendous terrorist attack, President Obama still refuses to face the facts, to come clean with the American people, to tell the truth about what really happened in Benghazi, Libya. Congress is now actively investigating this brutal attack, working to get the facts, to cut through the political maneuvering, to tell the American people exactly what happened and why. Unfortunately, it's becoming a common theme with the Obama administration. We still
still don't know what really happened with the botched gun running program Fast and Furious that took the life of a U.S. Border Patrol agent. Now another crisis. Lots of questions, no straight answers. Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. It's time for President Obama to quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or online, ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Again, we're taking your calls. I know a lot of you have been holding. Hang on the line there. We'll be taking more calls in the next 30 minutes of the broadcast. So 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us. Hang on the line. I do want to get to, since I've got David Benjamin from our office in Israel here with me in the studio, and Skip Ash, who heads up our national security group as well. I want to play a question first from Bob Schieffer about Israel and how we would view an attack on Israel. Let's play the question, and then I'm going to play each answer. But I want to talk about the question first. Let's go ahead and play the question.
Would either of you be willing to declare that an attack on Israel is an attack on the United States, which, of course, is the same promise that we give to our close allies like Japan? And if you made such a declaration, would not that deter Iran? It's certainly deterred the Soviet Union for a long, long time when we made that promise to our allies.
So basically you've got, it was an attack on Israel, an attack on the United States. And before we get you the answers of the candidates for president, let's talk to our experts here. Let me go first to Skip. We talked about this a little bit while we were watching the debate. You would have nuanced the answer a little bit. How would have you done it?
I would have nuanced the answer because Israel is attacked by so many tiny things that you couldn't come to their aid at every instance.
But I think he was talking about a major attack.
But a major attack, I think the answer should be an absolute yes, and that would be that would send a message to the entire Middle East about our support of Israel.
All right, David Benjamin, as an Israeli.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Israelis were listening very closely to the answers of the candidates to that particular question. Of course, if you like, this is the big one for the Israelis. You know, where does America stand?
Right.
Will America be there for us? You know, against this existential threat, which is Iran. And I think, you know, as far as Israelis are concerned, the biggest issue now in the American election is which candidate, okay, can we feel better about in that respect?
All right, well, let's listen to the candidate's answer. First, the President of the United States. Again, the question is, would either of you be willing to declare that an attack on Israel is an attack on the United States? First, President Obama.
Israel is a true friend. It is our greatest ally in the region. And if Israel is attacked, America will stand with Israel. I've made that clear throughout my presidency. I will stand with Israel if they are attacked. And this is the reason why, working with Israel, we have created the strongest military and intelligence cooperation between our two countries in history. In fact, this week, we'll be carrying out the largest military exercise with Israel in history, this very week.
Yeah, 2 weeks before a general election. Interesting. Your sense on that response, David?
Well, of course, what is significant is perhaps what's not in there.
Okay.
I mean, standing with Israel is good, obviously, but it's, you know, it doesn't have content. What does it mean, standing with Israel? Does it mean standing on the side and cheerleading and say, "Way to go, Israel"? Or does it mean more than that? That,
yeah.
There's a lot there which
so
is
there was
unanswered.
A lot of there was it was not clear yeah. what that meant.
Right.
Skip, same analysis or?
I think that's a good analysis. Remember, in NATO, for instance, when one member state is attacked, they're all attacked, and that triggers all reciprocal obligations for military support. By not going that far in this answer, he's sort of waffling.
All right, so the question again was, if Israel's attacked, would we consider that an attack on the United States? That was asked by Bob Schieffer. Here is Governor Romney's response.
When I'm president of the United States, we will stand with Israel. And if Israel is attacked, we have their back, not just diplomatically, not just culturally, but militarily.
Those statements that both, if you look at Governor Romney's response and President Obama's response, David, those are big differences in what they're saying.
Well, I think that Governor Romney, he gave content to the meaning to the term "stand with Israel," and I think he obviously listened to President Obama's response and felt that was
now
working.
The question is, do you think that the President Obama's response was calculated on this? They probably knew this question was coming, or a question like it. What do you think? It's hard to look inside the candidates. Do you think President Obama, Skip, was giving an answer that he thought was going to quell the concern that some have that will this president stand with Israel?
I think he was. I think he was saying we'll support Israel, but he was saying in such a way that it could be misunderstood or understood differently by the neighboring nations with whom he's trying to curry favor.
That's different than we have their back, not just diplomatically, not just culturally, but militarily. That's a big difference between President Obama and Governor Romney. Two very big differences there on that issue. Let me do this. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Again, if you want to stand with us, which is also standing with Israel in this petition we currently have going, we need you to do that. You go to aclj.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. Let me do this. Folks, stay on the line here. I want to play for you. I had a chance to interview Senator Lindsey Graham late yesterday. Let me play some of that for you. Very, very important. They'll have more of that coming up later in the week. Let's take a listen. Let's talk about the situation in Libya and what the White House is up to here. It has a political overtone to it, obviously, and the situation is tragic. We've got an ambassador who's dead and three others that served our country valiantly. What is your sense of what's going on here?
Well, I think the narrative that President Obama tried to create, that by killing bin Laden, al-Qaeda has been dismantled and the wars are receding, was very much in jeopardy if it turned out to be that al-Qaeda-inspired militia are on the comeback in Libya and that they overran our embassy in a very pre-planned, coordinated attack. And that leading from behind hasn't exactly worked in Libya, so they've been deathly afraid of what I think happened. But they should have known for 6 months or longer, Benghazi, Libya deteriorated to the point that the British left, the Red Cross left. We were the only people left in Benghazi, and it became a death trap.
Let me ask you this. Because I've talked to you about this before, in addition to your service as a member of Congress, both in the House of Representatives, now in the Senate, you also serve in the United States Air Force as a judge advocate general. And we have a number of JAG officers on our team here at the ACLJ as well, and they are all asking the question why. How did the president not know, and why weren't appropriate security measures taken, especially since it's September 11th? And the president's response about that video initially with the U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice and then the president himself going to the floor of the U.N. six times saying it's the video from YouTube. We're trying to get a sense, Senator, what is going on here? I know we're 2 weeks out from an election. So is this politics right now, or what are we dealing with? Because we've got unfortunate real casualties here.
Well, what I think has happened is that they wanted it to be a riot inspired by a video because they're less culpable. Mm-hmm. Within 24 hours, the CIA chief in Benghazi reported up to his command that this was a militia attack. There's a video of the consulate. And released the video. There was never a riot. There was never a mob. It was a pre-planned attack by heavily armed militia. And you could see this coming for months. There's a reason the British left at the end of June. There's a reason the Red Cross got out of Benghazi. And the reason we didn't double down security is because we wanted to normalize relations to give the impression Libya was working out fine. If you closed the consulate like other people would ask why you're doing that. If you heavily reinforced it, it would be a sign that something's wrong. So al-Qaeda was on the march in Benghazi. Everyone saw it but us. And I think we saw it. We chose not to act because it destroyed the narrative that these guys are on the wane. You'll never convince me that the president of the United States was not briefed in April and June about an attack on our consulate. So it's clear to me that they had to know, and they chose a path of trying to create a narrative that just was factually incorrect.
Well, folks, there you have it from Senator Lindsey Graham. And as you're viewing this broadcast on television, this is right before the election, and, of course, on radio, you're viewing it today, listening today, I encourage you, make sure you're voting. A lot of your states have voting early voting allowances. Do that. And get out and vote, and we encourage you to do that as well. But we want you to sign this petition. As Senator Graham said, we need to know what happened in Benghazi before the election. So you add your name to this petition at aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255 to get the truth behind the Benghazi attacks in Libya. We have the right to know. aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. And if you're on the phone, stay on the phone. We're going to get your calls. And if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
We
We still don't know what really happened with the botched gun running program Fast and Furious that took the life of a U.S. Border Patrol agent. Now another crisis. Lots of questions, no straight answers. Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. It's time for President Obama to quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.